is a revelation.
I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality,
something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that have touched the cause.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name. So, can we sit? Glory to God. Matthew chapter 21. One of the most challenging matters to build from the scripture is the matter of prayer, because many times, like a few like it, there are not many. After you have built a set of doctrines and knowledge around the matter of prayer, something can happen either by prayer or because of prayer or in the matter of prayer that will totally change the narrative in such a way that you will be in pursuit of further knowledge on the matter. Is it not true? And many times we have found ourselves housing or operating based on knowledge that has proven insufficient, not incorrect, but insufficient to explain several things that we have perceived as surrounding the matter of prayer. It seems as if it is it's an infinite dimension of knowledge. And I personally began to search out the matter. I felt it is something I should. Maybe there are others that have done so. And of course, because there are others that have done so, we stood upon the things that they have done and searched. But in many cases, more often than not, if we stand on the information that is on ground and search, it doesn't take us deep enough to answer certain questions that is coming up. So, when you stand on that and watch and you are not seeing well, stand back on the scripture and check again. So, the matter of prayer is a very serious matter. It is not just serious in the fact that it weaves around every single thing that involves humanity, involves believers, involves the church. It is a serious matter. As I began to press in, I stumbled upon something that initially I could not find a way to juxtapose. I found out that, because I started from the angle of, why do we have prayers that are not answered? Have you ever asked that kind of question? Why do we have prayers that are not answered? It is not a straightforward question to answer. Before, when we are in church, when we are younger, when you say, why do we have prayers that are not answered? Probably say because you don't have faith. Maybe because it's not the will of God and all that. But there are cases you know is the will of God and you have faith. But in quote, it's not answered. These are the kind of things that crop up that need definite and very clear interpretation of what is playing out. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And so, it began to solve a lot of things for us. For me, personally, I began to understand first that prayer goes beyond what I thought it was meant from the basic level teaching of the matter of prayer. At least from some of us that came around the church, because many times what we understood prayer to be is what we of something.
Is it my battery?
It is what you engage when you need to what? Solve something. So prayer became a servant. But when I checked the scripture again,
I start considering the status that God accorded to the matter of prayer, the status that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit accorded to the matter of prayer. Are you getting the point? In their deity. I now consider the status that the Son accorded to prayer, not in his deity now, but in his journey on the face of the earth, in his incarnation. And I consider the status that the apostles accorded to prayer. And I consider the status that the patriarchs in the scripture accorded to prayer. If you go to the Old Testament, what we call answers to prayer, there are not many that people obtained. What we call answers to prayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? When we come and tell people you have not prayed, it's not as if they are not praying. But insufficient, I did not say inaccurate. I did not say what? I said what? Insufficient. The questions that are begging now is a pointer that though the definition of prayer we had can be correct, but it is not sufficient. And that set me, and I believe many other people, on the course of research on the matter of prayer. And when you do that, when you research that matter, it will take you out of time. And that's why I'm here. I'm here because prayer took me out of time. Prayer took me out of time. I entered the place, and then I looked back at what I knew about prayer, and I now understood. It now made sense. And I knew why Jesus prayed a lot and never prayed for any need. He prayed a lot. I noticed that the reason why God makes sure you don't have need is to make sure you have enough time to pray. Meanwhile, the reason why we pray a lot in a general context in Africa is to solve more of what? Our need. If Jesus prayed like this, and you are praying like this, it will mean that according to Jesus, we have not prayed much. But according to our needs, and according to hedonistic and humanistic view, you can say that Africa pray a lot. So that might be prayer, but it's insufficient. Because of it, God will be begging and emphasizing on the matter of prayer when it seems as if we are still praying. Are you getting what I'm saying now? I know you have not fully gotten it, but you have seen a point that I'm making. For example, somebody like Hannah, we say, Lord, give me a child. And then start praying. And then nothing happens for 10 years, 20 years. As a pastor, if you pray for somebody for something for 1 year, 2 years, and nothing happens, you'll be very, very disturbed, though. You will feel as if your oil is not working. Sometimes you go and ask God a question, what is this? Do this one now. Now when you understand what is prayer, you understand that prayer has its duties beyond serving your selfish desire. And that is why we are here, to discuss the purpose of prayer. I will make an attempt to bring the perspectives from heavenly point. Because many times the reason why we do not capture the full scope of the teaching of the scripture concerning the matter of prayer, and several people ask a lot of questions they have about the matter of prayer, is because they see prayer from the earth. And when you see prayer from the earth, many things doesn't make sense. Are you getting the point? Like praying for long doesn't make sense. Praying loud doesn't make sense. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praying when you have all your needs met doesn't make sense. That's what a lot of people say. They say that if you now, doc, if you travel to US, travel abroad, and I know you have traveled. If you travel abroad, you stop praying. Is it true? So, for them, they are viewing prayer from earth. So, if prayer has solved needs, then it has met its purpose from their view. That is viewing from the earth. Are you following me? I'm laying a foundation. We have a journey to go. If you view prayer from the earth,
There are many things about the core New Testament prayer and the execution of purposes that will be totally cut off. In fact, there have been many things that we are doing here that is totally wrong. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. As I have told you people before, a rich man, a millionaire, met the son many years ago and asked the son, "Why are you crying in prayer? What is your need? Let me solve it." It means a miracle. That when somebody cries in prayer, it is because he has a need. He has something that he needs that is not yet met. That's why he prays. Meanwhile, that's not why God designed prayer. What if man didn't have any need? Have you ever wondered? They come and say, "We pray a lot in Africa." One day somebody tagged me in a video where our people is praying. Somebody posted it, tagged me. Don't respond to those. The more you are saying they are praying, these people, they are not, I'll be happy. I'm happy. You know why I'm happy? The Satan that is walking through those people is angry, and I'm very happy. If the world is happy with what I'm doing, I will suspect myself. If all this Nigerian whatever, socialite and all that, I don't want to call their name, you know their name. They are clapping for me. Say they like, it's you that we like. Something must be wrong. What is the business between light and darkness? The way truth does, somebody said that before truth will make you free, it will offend you first. And that person out there said, before the truth will make you free, it will make you mad first. And that's what has happened to many of you. Before you joined us in this prayer thing, when you saw us, you were mad with these guys. But as you were watching or something entered you, and from being mad, you became a possessor of the same thing. Are you getting the point?
Yes,
sir. So it's okay that you are mad if it will make you free. Be mad and be made free. Be mad and be what? Made free. I think that's okay with me. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So if you look at prayer from a humanistic point of view, you will wonder why somebody should pray more than 15 minutes. Why should we pray more than 15 minutes? Why should we even wake up in the night? You getting the point? You are tired. You should be very tired. You should sleep in the night. Just sleep. Wake up at your convenience and just pray. When you see people drop the matter of prayer like that, don't bother them because they are functioning from either absence of light or insufficient light. They have not stumbled on holy truths, holy things from the secret place. They have light, but their light is broadcasting from maybe different chamber of the tabernacle. You know the layout of the tabernacle? The one outside is public light. Yeah? The one inside is candle light. The holiest of all is Shekinah itself. So we need to ask, by what light do you see? So it's not enough to see what you need is light. What you need is light in the scripture. Light, light. The what sets me, what takes people up, what the key to dominion is light. Light from where? We need to know even light from God is demarcated into three compartments. Light can shine to you from the outer court. And when you see light from the outer court, it has result. But it has result around the things that are material and around the things that is external. That's why it's light outside. Then you come to the light of the holy place. Then you come to the Shekinah. After this teaching, I have a burden to teach you people on the deeper life. Deeper life is not a denomination. It's not a denomination. It's a walk with God. It's a walk with God. It's not a denomination. It's not a badge to hold. It's not a dressing style. It's a depth of walk with God. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Then we don't need to pray for long. And we don't need to pray in the night. In fact, we don't need to pray at all. He asked me. A pastor asked me many years ago that he's doing research. Is there a way he can compress the prayer of 2 hours and make it 5 minutes? He has been looking for all the shortcuts. I told him, me too, I'm searching. If you find it before me, just tell me. if you really met God on your journey, as you transverse in spiritual things, if God made your life easy, it is for a purpose. It is not for you to now be lazy and be comfortable in the things of the flesh. That is an avenue to buy time so that you can invest in spiritual things. If you have me so far, say amen.
Amen.
I mean it totally. It is a principle of the scripture. The principle of priesthood is God buying people to himself that will not do any other thing except to serve his. Are you getting the point now? And he pays them. You are not with me. Like God bought, say, boy, you don't worry about anything. Let me use, that is, using the ironic context. He said, don't do anything. I'm employing you like you would have gone to work. Let me employ you. Now employed you. And he's paying you 10% of what every other person gathered their 10% and give to you. Why? He wants you to have enough time to give to him. Enough time to focus on him. Enough time to focus on his labors. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh, let me be sure of my verse. Okay, let's see verse 13. And said unto them, it is written. Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, ready, go. I beg you, can we read this one more time?
And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, for ye have made it the den of thieves.
Can we possibly comprehend the enormity of this statement? We will try. Is it not true?
Yes, sir.
Let's try. But before we try, I will want you to open your Bible and look at this thing as we read it. Because I want you to go and search back. You mark it in your Bible. Open your Bible now. Open your Bible and read this thing. I want you to get back and search with me after this lecture. And now, kill Kwafal. Go on. No. When you know on us. Huh? Huh? It's after Bible. Can we read it together? 1, 2, ready, go. One more time.
And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, for ye have made it the den of thieves.
Let's leave the den of thieves for now. Let's leave what they have made it into. Let's leave the corruption now. Let's look at the matter from the exact position and posture that is captured in the heart of God. All things being equal, if the desire in the heart of God is met, are you following me now? This is the heavenly design of God's house. The heavenly design of what? God's house. There are some places I will not go so that we will not live where we are. But there are fundamental needs of God, as you know. And in the matter of the execution of the purpose of God in this seen realm, the most important is a house. Before a sacrifice. You know now. Hebrews chapter 10. Somebody asked me in Zambia, why do I always go to the book of Hebrews? I said, I don't know. But the book of Hebrews is the New Testament representation of his complete priesthood. Hey! I understood the book of Hebrews and I understood priesthood. Show me verse 4 and 5, please. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, say after me, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Let's read the last part together. 1, 2, ready, go. I don't want to push this further. Let's stop it. This is the greatest need of God. And that is why when Jesus was able to present this, the scripture testified in the book of Colossians chapter 2 that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead. Where?
Body.
Remember, my emphasis is on body. In him dwelleth the fullness of what?
Godhead.
Where?
Body.
In him dwelleth the fullness of what?
Godhead.
Where?
Body.
Fullness of the Godhead. Where?
Body.
Fullness of the Godhead. Where?
Body.
That means the bodily representation of the Godhead was not available until Jesus appeared on the scene. Are you following me now? Keep this in your arsenal. Can you keep this in your arsenal? Very good. Let's get back to it is written, my house. And said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But he have made it a den of thieves. My house. I want to ask this question. As you know, he's already begging. Where is the house of God? Huh? Where is the house of God? No, so it's not necessarily your body. The church is the house of God. Are you seeing it now? So it will mean, if you are the house of God and the church is the house of God, it means that we have two houses of God. One in an individual sense, and the second in a corporate sense. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Now, in the full meaning of what the house of God means, no individual can be the house of God. Are you following me now? Yeah. Only Jesus can function in that. And even that, it is fully represented in his official capacity. Should I go further? Should I go further? Okay, so that is why we have what we call the office of the Christ. And the church of Jesus Christ now is called the body of what?
Christ.
It's called what? The body of what?
Christ.
So it is the office that is now represented in a body of which every one of us is part of it. That is born again. That is born again. Self tell me
that is born again.
So it means that this concept, as I can prove from the book of Ephesians, is not an afterthought. It means that God, remember that the scripture said that we in many places, God is spirit. Self tell me,
God is spirit.
But he wants to be felt literally. How many of you have experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit before? How many of you have? In fact, at some point, it will be more real than the neighbor beside you. Am I correct? Is that somebody that doesn't want to be known? He wants to reveal his personality. Are you getting what I'm saying now? In as much as his spirit, he still wants to be as clear in his tangible description. I didn't say intangible. I said the Holy Spirit is spirit. God is spirit, but he still wants to be described clearly in tangible expressions. So man became an ordination from heaven as a vehicle of tangible representations. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That is what it means to be a house. It means that man can now house God literally. And as you are walking on the street, it will be God that is walking on the street. When we gather together as the body of Christ, it will be a collection of people that is hosting God. So when the body of Christ is doing something, it's like God is the one doing it. When they are walking in love, are you getting what I'm saying? The expressions of God among them is like the expressions of Christ. So through them, God is looking out. Through them, God is acting. Through them, God is executing his purposes. Back a little step. Now, God said, I want to give my house a name. Are you following me?
Yes,
I want to name my house. House naming ceremony. I'm going this down so that I can build context for you. House naming ceremony. According to this book of Matthew chapter 21, what is the name of this? I say, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Of course, you know that the source code is in the Old Testament. Hold this. Show me 1 Peter chapter 2. I hope I'm correct. Let's start from verse 3. If so be ye have tested that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone. Say after me, to whom coming? If you know how to compare scriptures, you will notice that there is not much difference between this and what is in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. There is not much difference. But for the sake of clarity, just take that book of Hebrews as an independent collaboration of what we are talking about. This one, we are trying to use this now as to help to interpret what we saw in the book of Matthew chapter 21 verse 13. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of what? But chosen of God and what? Let's start from verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow. Verse 3. If so be that you have tested that the Lord is gracious. Say after me, the Lord. And the reason why I went back here is that verse 4 started saying some things. But you need to know that it is talking about who? Exactly. That it is talking about the Lord. Said, if so be ye have tested that the Lord is gracious. Verse 4 now. To whom? So this is the Lord we are talking about. To whom coming? That is the Lord coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and what?
Precious.
Join me in the next 5 minutes. Next verse. Let's read verse 5 together. 1, 2, ready, go. Wait. Hey! You don't know how to look at scriptures. I want you to see something. Huh? Go back. To whom coming as unto... Remember, we are talking about the Lord. Are you following me? This, the Lord, when he was coming, he came unto you. He came as what? As what? As what? Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Then next verse. Ye what? That means as the Lord came, you also are coming. It will mean that there is a purpose. So there are two advents here. Say after me, advent. When you hear this kind of come, it is not the come of being born or the come of just coming. No, this is the come of advent. This is the come when you say the Holy Spirit is not yet come or not yet given. This is what we mean. It is advent. Doesn't mean that we have not heard about this thing before. It means that the regime and the possibilities has not been made a fiat and a law amongst men and amongst spirits. Are you with me now? So as the advent of the Lord as the stone came, in the same way, there was another advent. Faustina, are you following me? Better than this thing. There was another advent after the advent of the Lord. And this advent is our advent. And the Lord came as a living stone. And because our own advent is like the advent of the Lord, we also came as what? This is where the point starts. This is where God's intention was declared. This is the greatest thing you have to understand about the purposes of God. There is an eternal construction site. And according to the revelation of the scripture from here and in many places, two things are needed. Stones and priests. Stones and priests. But there is a mystery that began to reveal himself here. Are you getting what I'm saying? What is life? What is man? I consider my thought processes in consonance with reasoning out spiritual things as the greatest show of mercy from heaven to me. And I believe in the same line of development, a show of mercy to my generation and generations to come. Reality in the spirit is at the frequency of your capacity to reason them out. And I've even thought, is it that I was naturally born that way? It is not true. There is an investment of God that is a total product of mercy and an election of grace that makes men to reason spiritual things that way. And the economy of God is captured around your ability to flow in the line of that spiritual thought. Because the spirit that is releasing those thoughts to you has an end in view. It is an avenue to woo you in to things that are possible within the environment of that spirit, but can only be activated as you begin to interface with light, reality within that realm. These are possible in God, though. But he advertises this by a thought. He will ask Job, where is the foundation of this earth? It is an advertisement. He wants the man to reason in a way. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you seeing it? He wants you to just reason. Where is the foundation of this earth? Several questions that he asks Job that it seems as if he doesn't have answer. Or rather, the one that must know it must be somebody that is of a different order. And for you to fellowship with such a one, you have to leave your low place that made you reason and summarize several things as his friend summarized. So the thoughts of God, as he fires into our hearts as burdens and as thoughts and questions, holy thoughts in our mind, is an invitation to light and reality. Sometimes it troubles you to the point. That's how we enter into deep things in God. Troubles you, you ask a question. Why is it that people are even sick in the first place? Sorry. Are you getting the point? That's how your healing ministry started. Why are people even sick? You see that kind of question. It's not just to ask a just top question that everybody... You go deep. It's not as if the thought originated from you. A spirit is inviting you. So he left a thought in your mind. And that thought is in this way. Why are people even sick in the first place? Why is God weak in this generation? Why are men prospering in unrighteousness and righteous people seem as if their hands are tied? These things doesn't have a straightforward answer. Is it not true? It's an invitation by a spirit. Because in him is the answer. And much more, much more than the answer, a literal explanation of the situation is a wooing into the possibility of becoming the vessel to answer that question. Is it not true? Where is the pillar of this earth? Where is the pillar? What sustains the earth? What if God is trying to tell Job, I want to make you a pillar on the earth? We don't know. But he still asked him a question. Are you getting the point? And that is how he wooed all the patriarchs. He leaves them with an instruction, a question. He leaves them things that is beyond their present level of reasoning. Sometimes they go to bed and think about it. Some of them wake up and say, Lord, you are greater than man. Just tell me what you want to say. If you don't want to tell me, woo me in. If you don't want to woo me in, make me. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Are you following me? We must consider this matter of spiritual house. Because if the stones that are used to construct this spiritual house, first of all, who will live there? Who is living in this house? Are you seeing as I'm progressing? Who is living in this house? The house that the original stone that was used to build it was advented in the Christ, the Lord. Now, is it not true? But it seems as if God is looking for many other stones. So the Lord became the sample stone, and it was called the corner. The cornerstone in this context is not just the stone that you put in a strategic place. The corner here means the stone that other stones are formed from. The stone that makes out a sample for other stones is a corner. You must eat it. It's either you love it or you are offended in it. It means that it is standing in an aperture that influences everything and everyone that passes through here. It's a corner. So the scripture told us where we read here that the way he came, he was disallowed indeed of men. Unfortunately, God chose him and he's precious. He said, likewise, in ye also, we also. So we are co-opted by God's sovereignty into this business of building. We are co-opted by sovereignty into this business of building, first of all, as stones that are living. Just as Christ Jesus the Lord is a stone that is living. Follow me. Are you with me now? It will mean that the project of building that is here, this project of building came before man fell. So before Adam fell, was he in need of food? What was his need? Are you getting where I'm going? It will mean that the things we began to seek, as Jesus suggested in the book of Matthew chapter 6, is a byproduct of the fall. You now ask yourself the question, what if there is no sin and what if there is no fall? Does it mean that there is no project and there is no purpose? Are you getting where I'm going now? So follow me. Whatever I'm reading for you here is something that God has preordained. Sin and departure and suffering and sickness is just something that happened to take us away. When you sort out the matter of sin, poverty, and all these things that redemptive privileges in Christ Jesus have sorted out, we drive back. We drive back to the execution of the original purposes. Because if the Lord is a living stone, and remember, the Lord doesn't need his own blood. Hello? The Lord is a living stone for a construction. But remember that he died to shed his blood to save us. Am I correct? Him not needing his own blood, it is we that needed to be saved. Are you getting what I'm saying? Saved unto what? Just to be saved? No. If there is no purpose, then there is no need to be saved. There must be something higher than saving. There must be something too important to God that he's willing to sacrifice his only son. And they come and tell you, you are too precious to God that God sacrificed his only son. It's not true, in a sense, because there are several people that died without receiving him. It is not you as you. It is his purpose that he came to rescue in you. Now, so if you didn't submit, another person would have submitted. Are you getting what I'm saying? The redemptive journey is an attempt to rescue the purposes of God. But remember that these purposes is tied to man. Now, it is not tied to man as per individuals. It is tied to man as per obedience. So God saved man, and everybody that accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior was co-opted. It's like you are taken back to eternity and then brought back into time. And then you begin to live according to that purpose. So, when you say that God so loved you and he died, you need to, I don't even have time to do a lot of exegesis there, but you need to understand what the scripture, for God so loved the world, he is looking for something. If not, there are several scriptures you cannot explain. Say, I will give Ethiopia for your sake and Sheba. That means it is not about Israel. Is it not the same Israel that he comes and allows to be flogged and point some of them? That is it not true? So it is not Israel as per individual. It is Israel as per desire and purpose that is in his heart. There is the Israel of the heart of God meeting his purpose that he is looking for. Departures from that desire many times we require corrections and rebuke from him. It will mean that the individuals is not as important as the purpose. It is purpose represented in individual and a man that is that important. The rescue mission of the purpose of God will involve man, because man has been ordained as the vehicle that will represent the purpose of God in the tangible realm. So he's rescuing man. So in the rescue mission of man, you became involved. Are you getting the point now? If you are not involved, if you refuse to be born again, another person will be there. Because what God rescued is his purpose in man. If you get born again, you become part of it. You following me now? That purpose, the fundamental part, this one is fundamental and foundational and the beginning. The first thing that must be achieved in the purposes of God in the ages. There is the purpose of God in the ages. This is not the only. But the Bible said that before you know it, I don't know how long this age will last. Part of the reason we are saying everybody must be born again, we don't know how long it's going to last. Are you getting the point now? And the scripture reviewed, there are many ages. What is the purpose of God in those ages? That's not our job now. If you are with me so far, say amen. Now let me say my point. What drove me to research in this? I found out that prayer is transcendent. Let me say it again. I found out that prayer is what? Transcendent. Oh, so prayer goes beyond solving my need. There is something God wants to get done even before I appeared on the scene and have need of a car. Are you getting what I'm saying? Before there was even a need for a car, how was Adam traveling? That time now, how was he traveling? How was Adam traveling? I am sure he didn't need a car. He will just think and be where he is thinking. He moves at the speed of thought. That is the man that has not fully possessed life. Is operating at the speed of thought. Because the tree of life is there, ready to be possessed unto maturity. That man operated at a realm that he named everything before him. Sometimes I'll be counting and doing calculation. I will forget some things I've calculated. I'll have to. How many of you it has happened to you? As intelligent as you are, you need a calculator. How did Adam name everything? How? He has not possessed life. Because the life is in the sun. Hello? These are the things that God set in motion, made man the vehicle. The way these things will be achieved, what will be achieved? Say after me, what will be achieved? The way it will be achieved has already been decided before man appeared. Never forget these things. Say after me, what God needs to achieve The purpose of God has been decided. The way he will achieve it has been decided before man came to the scene. And then you need to add before man sinned. So I began to search the scripture. One of the reasons why Jesus came to live upon the face of the earth is to reveal to us actions on this physical realm, on this world, that are transcendent, that has the ability to trap things beyond this life. Can you learn what I'm saying? Can you learn? Please, I beg you. So he will look at something like this and say, don't look, the scripture will cancel it and say, don't look for bread that perish. What is he talking about? He said that he that will be great will be a servant. What is he talking about? It is not understand. There is nothing you can explain to me from the human point of view. If you want to be great, you need to be served. Greatness in human context is to serve. When people say you need to be great, what they mean is that they need more people to serve them. Are you getting what I'm saying? What does Jesus mean? He must be speaking from a realm. The conditionalities and the available, the purpose and the way it should be achieved from where he's coming from. He said, if I speak to you about earthly things and you cannot interface with them, how much more when I speak to you about what? Heavenly things. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual what?
House.
Are you there now, Chibike? This project is not project after the fall. Are you getting where I'm going now? God is looking for a house and looking for a priesthood. Number one, what? Number two, what? Number one, what? Number two, what? Number one, what? Number two, what? So it means that these two things are the most important requirements for the execution of the eternal purpose of God in the ages. If you can achieve these two, if you can master it, you have become a pillar in the construction site of the Almighty. The purpose of God as is represented in your age and in the ages to come will be trapped in the paths that you walked with God. This is what the fathers knew, and they rejected things from this earth. Because there is like, it's like what the Facebook man is trying to do, to buy into Meta. Listen, you know what they are telling you to buy into Meta? They are telling you to buy into an invisible world. Is it not true? I don't know what it means, but that's my understanding of it. Is it not true? They are trying to tell you to value that invisible world more than the one I'm seeing. I don't understand how somebody in this market, Onye Burubalo, everyone know Kada Bacha, say Google Meta. Agua na agomo. Oh, really? God, new boss is to eat in this Nigeria. Are you getting what I'm saying? It will be hard. You have to be rich, and don't know what you need your money to do many times to be buying those kind of things. What if you that? There are some things that our people don't bother themselves to think beyond. Are you getting what I'm saying? So those guys in a solical dimension is trying to mirror what is only capturable in the realm of the spirit. God is telling you to buy into my realm. So the labors of a man that understands the eternal purposes of God is towards the direction of buying into the eternal realm. Are you getting what I'm saying now? You will be a pillar there. Hey, my time cannot be summarized in 90 years upon the face of the earth. Na 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 na. This is what goes through my mind when I labor in prayer. By prayer, I prolong my days. So even though Jesus lived 33 and a half years here, his days cannot be counted. As long as men carry burdens, and as long as God is in the business of executing projects, then Christ, as the entity of execution, will become a subject of interest. In the same way, you also as lively stones. na 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 na. Why do you have eternal life? Why did God even give you eternal life? Sit down one day. Use 3 hours to think about what I asked you. Why did God give me eternal life? People say it means that so that you will not be sick and all that. Why did you have eternal life? The very life of God. Are you getting what I mean? It means that God is inviting you as an executive partner to purposes. Because life is the instrument that he uses to execute things. That is life. He releases it. Are you getting the point now? He invited you to the fellowship of eternal purposes by that life. So when a man gets to know the eternal life, he lives beyond this realm. The investments and interactions with that life, because it's eternal, does not end in 90 years you spent on earth. It is as transcendent and as eternal as that life itself. So the men that are wise in the things of the spirit, what do? They invest in the eternal life. They invest in it. Their growth is in the eternal life. Their executions, their purposes, their pursuits is in the life. Because they know anything that the life holds will live, will stay relevant as long as that life. And that life is the life of God. The same means through which God does things. It means that you are forever, to the measure that you have invested in life, co-opted into the executions of the purposes of God. You want to prolong your days? I invite you to the construction site and to the priesthood of God. I hope you heard. But in the day that you hear, in that day, you now know why. You now know why we beat ourselves. Are you getting the point? A brother said, "Apostle, the way you are anointed, you should not." I said, "You don't understand. We want to invest in life so much. So much. I invite a fellowship to join me in this investment in life." That is why anything you lose, you say, "Ah, thank God, though." You will not be lamenting that you lost it. You will be rejoicing that you lost it. If you are with me so far, say amen. Are you blessed? I built up a spiritual house and an holy priesthood. So you see what is happening here. Remember where we started. Reduce a little, my brother. Just a little. You remember where we started? We read something in the book of Matthew chapter 21. Am I correct? Verse 13. He said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." I'm trying to use scripture to interpret scripture. The scripture came here and said, "I am building what? My house. And I want to call that house the house of prayer." What he suggests to you immediately is that whatever this prayer is an instrument of execution of purposes. Whatever prayer is. Are you following what I'm saying? Better follow. Remember, I took time to explain to you the nature of the house of God, the origin of the house of God. That it is an eternal entity. That it is a desire that is in the heart of God before man even appeared on the scene and before man even sinned. And God has declared that my house will be the house of what? Prayer. At whatever point he declared this his interest, it will mean it is not as a result of the issues that we faced because of the fall. Why is it that the general expendings of prayer has become towards the things that didn't matter in the first place when God decided to make his house the house of prayer? How can you spend 3 hours to pray for a car and the governor of this state can give it to you? You don't know how God is disappointed when we invest something as sacred as prayer to these mundane things, to things that doesn't make sense. I'm telling you. You'll be asking, no, calm down, I will give you this. Or if you work hard in your office, you finally make it. Huh? Hey, brother, come and give this money. I'm just 22 years old and I have Jeep and I have the best house in Lagos or whatever and all that. That this thing normally takes 10 years or 5 years to come is not totally so much of a good testimony, but let me leave. Huh? You know why? If a car and a duplex comes in Ikoyi when you are 21 years old with a Jeep, a brother said, a sister in church was asking her, why is it that nobody knows your house? Let's ask the question together. 1, 2, ready, go. Let's ask the question again. 1, 2, ready, go. That's when you find out that sisters live in the direction of your own house. So they must join in Dhaka. Where do you live? I'm living that side. Which side are you following? Just carry me. Let's be going. Wherever you drop, I will stop. I know you people will not like this, my story, but no problem. I will still say, that's why I'm who I am. Are you getting what I'm saying? Fuck on a woof, woof. This kind of thing I'm telling you that you don't like to hear. Are you with me? The tendency to be involved in many things that is not necessary within that season of your life will increase. Are you getting what I'm saying? You will find out that there will be a revelation of purposelessness, even in what we call blessing. And it is a byproduct of what we call prayer. That's why we need to reveal the purpose. And in the purpose, what I'm doing now is to reveal the purpose of prayer. And in the purpose, we will see purposes. Are you getting the point? I want to reveal, not me, I want the Holy Spirit to, through this teaching, reveal the purpose. And I think he has succeeded already to a great measure. And for that, I'm grateful to him. Now, if the purpose is revealed, then in the purpose, we can see purposes. And then we will now find out why some things that we focus on is not that important to God. Though it's a purpose of prayer, but it's only a purpose of prayer if you look from the ground. Remember what I told you people. There are two ways to look. You can look from heaven and look from that. If you look from heaven and... well, if you look from earth now, what will you say Jesus is praying for? That he prayed all night. Finish crusade and finish healing people. Jesus will clear cripples. Sometimes the Bible says he will heal all. How many? All. He finished and went back to prayer. Oh God, what are you praying for? You have the power. You have the power. Display it. It's not about prayer. It's about who will display the power. You don't know prayer. Even power is not a purpose in prayer. It's not. As I will show you, I will give disclaimers. Maybe 2 or 3 disclaimers before I will start. I will tell you people 3 things I don't mean and the scriptures doesn't mean when we say the purposes of prayer. They come and say power. Say, no. Those things are like byproducts and impacts. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are the things that just fall by the side. It just happens. It just happens that it happens. That as you were praying, you know, and all that. If you are with me so far, say amen. Yeah.
Okay, let's tidy up this. So God decided that his house is a house of prayer. Why? Because there is a purpose that is in his hands. For the first time we saw Jesus visibly angry. Is there any other place that he did something about it? Is there any other place that he scattered everything? That thing he did is not about the physical thing, because he really didn't do anything physically. Am I correct? Except for the fact that he got him killed. He's trying to show God's displeasure. The greatest visible time that Jesus showed displeasure when we toyed with the matter of prayer and his house. Prayer and what? His house. Prayer and what? His house. Prayer and what? His house. Because these are the two most fundamental things from the eternities of God that is needed to establish the counsels of God, not just in our age, in ages. Whatever people think we need to be done in this age is little. Are you getting where I'm going now? I want to push you ahead. Whatever happens by prayer in this age, that's what I'm trying to say, is little compared to what prayers can do for God from this age onwards. Are you not seeing what I'm saying now? There are things that prayer can get done. Now you pray, half car. But there are things that prayer can get done that is captured eternally. That means what that prayer got done can still be relevant even after we finished. Are you getting where I'm going? I'm trying to shift you now. That is where God is going. So the priesthood of God is very important, but is even more important beyond this age. The prayers of God is important now, but it's as important now as it captures the burden of God progressively. Are you getting the point now? So if I come and invest prayer in the things that captures the purpose of God beyond now, that means I have prayed more of God's prayer than praying and getting anything solved physically here. That is a challenge. And I need to show you, because prayer is like an independent instrument in a sense. You can take it and use it in a wrong way and use it what? In a right way. And that is why purpose needs to be what? Defined. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can pick it. You can pick prayer now. I'm sorry I'm going this far. Do you know that people can use prayer and pray accident for you? I don't know how. They asked me that question one time in morning Bible study. I answered it. But as of now, the frequency of my thought is only on the positive side. I might not be able to answer it now. Maybe later on. I just want to be thinking positive now. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, prayer. Meanwhile, God does not consider prayer as capturing his purpose yet until we pray it for a particular reason and in a particular way. And if it is true, you will now realize why we have to pray the way we pray. Because there is something in the heart of God that needs to be captured, that is need, necessity, value. Will be beyond the 80 years that you will spend on this earth. You finish 80 years and found out that you invested in the bank of eternity. That the life you lived upon the face of the earth as invested in priesthood has become a pillar with which God will keep building in eternity. Are you getting what I'm saying? How much will you pray? If you know that your prayer is drops of incense, blood, and priesthood that drives the purpose of God, you don't know why God loves the people of prayer. Are you getting the point? When you pray in a certain way, you are telling God, I want to be your partner beyond this age. Are you getting what I'm saying now? If you are with me so far, say amen. I think I need to just say this as we round up. The first thing we do not, when we say the purpose of prayer, the first thing we do not mean is the types or kinds of prayer. Are you getting the point?
But sometimes when we say the purpose of prayer, people think that what we mean is the kinds of prayer. Then I'll say, I asked it in the morning session during the 50 days, and somebody said intercession, somebody said petition. That's types of prayer. Are you getting the point? Prayer can be intercessory. Prayer can be petitioner. That has not defined purpose yet. It just defines, you know, the type of prayer you are praying. Prayer can be, sometimes can be thanksgiving. Let me check my notes. You know these things. It is a common teaching in the body. It can be adorational and all that. Are you with me now? The most common amongst them is petitional and intercessory. The reason is because we say that petition is receive, is taking, you know, give me, and then intercession is unselfish. You know, the way they define, they say, you, the way we learn those days, the balance in a good prayer life is interceding for people and then praying for the things you need. That petition is praying for your needs, and intercession is interceding for people. That brings a balance. That's nice. But that's insufficient. Somebody said, Apostle, you love prayer too much. Kai, your own is that you love prayer. since when? If purpose is not defined, one day you wake up and ask yourself, these 50 days we are praying every day. Okay, have you not asked that question? These 50 days we are praying every day, I should be better than every other human being. Is it not true? You don't know purpose. That's why we need to define purpose. Are you getting the point? If not, you'll be weary in your labors. If not, Satan can distract you. If not, you can descend to lower purposes and begin to envy people that should envy you. People that maybe by prayer receives the reward that is temporal. That is the settlement of the other sons of Abraham. You know the way he settled them? He settled them, go. But the blessing and the inheritance is with Isaac. That's the way it works. So the one that, I hope you know, that by the time Esau met Jacob, he is many, many, many times richer than him physically. Am I correct? But whom does God count as the one that is blessed? Why? He's carrying inheritance. He's carrying inheritance. That is what people lay hold on when they walk with God in the spirit. That is what God is inviting you by priesthood, by prayer, to lay hold on. You can make a choice. What will my prayer buy for me? Will he buy things eternal, or will he buy things what? Mundane. And I hope you know that because of the nature of eternal things, the rating is different. Hello? And that is why I need to explain to you. In the matter of eternal things, prayers is not something you outsource. Are you getting the point? When I now pray for 24 hours, that kind of prayer, you will now understand that if God gives me a car after that prayer, I will thank him. We can pray for a car, receive it, but we don't need 24 hours to get a car. We don't. If God gives you a healing after 24 hours prayer, thank God, though, you don't need 24 hours to get your healing. What you need is to claim your rights in the scripture. These things are already done. The reason why we pray is for something higher. That is why it is not if you can't see it, then you can't be willing to follow God along the way. People can move you. Say, now that you are praying, are you married? You are not yet married now. You are not yet married, and you are praying like this. You are not yet married. Is prayer for the purpose of, even if you prayed and got married, the purpose of prayer is not to give people husband. There are people that didn't pray and what? Married. Ask God in the next 1 minute to open my eyes that I might see. Open my eyes that I might see the excellencies of things divine, the excellencies of things divine. A woman lost her husband in the book of Luke chapter 2. And the Bible says 7 years after she lost her husband, till she was 84 years old, she was in the temple serving God with only prayer and fasting. What kind of thing is that? She didn't remarry. She didn't do any other thing. She didn't do business. Serving God with prayer and fasting. Oh, she saw something transcendent. She could have prayed, Lord, give me another husband. God might have given her. Is it not true? She could have prayed, God, give me house. God might have given her house. Give me business. He might have given her. She said, my days I will to you. One more minute. Na 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 na. Ta na 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 na. Ta na 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 na. Ta na 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 na. Ta na 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 na. Ta na 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 na. Ta na 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 na. In Jesus' mighty.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edugbu Dejiku, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhopinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edugbu Dejiku. God bless you.